Radio Prague News.
The Czech economy's growth slowed down to 1.5% in the third quarter of this year. Young Czechs remain Europe's top consumers of cannabis, according to a new report. And the Czech Republic is plagued by air pollution and adverse weather conditions. The Czech Republic's economic growth slowed down to an annual 1.5% rate in the third quarter of this year, according to a report by the Czech Statistical Office released on Thursday. Compared to the previous quarter, however, the country's GDP growth contracted by 0.7%. Analysts forecast a lower growth rate for the final quarter of 2011 as well, when the Czech economy might even slip into recession. The Czech Finance Ministry is skeptical about the economy's performance next year too, hinting that a 1.0% growth rate would be a success. Czechs aged 15 to 24 remain Europe's top consumers of cannabis, according to the annual report by the European Centre for Drugs and Drug Addiction, released on Tuesday. Compared to the European average of around 30%, more than 54% of young Czechs smoked marijuana at least once last year, followed by the French and the Spanish. The report suggests that cannabis consumption in the Czech Republic, Greece, Latvia, Lithuania and some other Eastern European countries is on the rise, contrary to Western Europe, where it is declining. The centre also registered a record number of 41 new synthetic drugs that appeared in Europe last year. The Czech Republic is plagued by air pollution and adverse weather conditions. The industrialized regions of Northern Moravia, Central Bohemia and Ústí in the north are among the worst hit, with pollution levels exceeding legal limits. The city of Plzeň experienced the fallout of condensated waste vapor, known as industrial snow. The authorities in cities across the Czech Republic have declared smoke alerts, restricting traffic and industrial production. Several flights to and from Prague's Ruzyně Airport have been cancelled. Meteorologists have warned that the situation is not likely to improve before the end of the week. Member of the Prague 1 Local Council and Member of Parliament for the Public Affairs Party Kateřina Klasnová screened gay porn at a public hearing in protest against leasing property to a gay sauna. Ms. Klasnová said she screened several partially blackened out images of gay sex to show that rather than seeking sauna services, clients come to the establishment for casual sex, which is explicitly forbidden by the terms of the lease. Prague 1 Mayor Oldřich Lomecký criticized Ms. Klasnová for screening the images and said a recent inspection to the sauna found no breaches of the contract. The owner of the gay sauna denied Ms. Klasnová's claims, although its website advertises opportunities to meet new friends. In the last academic year, 765 Czechs studied at universities in the United States, which was 7% less than in the previous period, according to a report by the U.S. group Institute of International Education, released on Tuesday. Most Czech university students in the United States attended bachelor programs. Jakub Tesar from the Fulbright Commission, which organizes stays at U.S. universities, said high costs were the major obstacle for Czech students intending to study in the United States of America. In football, the Czech national team plays Montenegro on Tuesday night in the second leg of the Euro 2012 playoffs. The Czechs won their first leg 2-0 in Prague on Friday, boosting their hopes of advancing to the final tournament, as the hosts need a 3-0 win. The game in Podgorica starts at 8:15 p.m. and if successful, the Czech national team will be seeded in Pot 4 for the tournament's final draw. And finally, a brief look at the weather. The next few days will be mostly sunny with morning fogs in places. Daytime highs should range between 4 and 8 degrees Celsius. My name is Jan Richter and that's the end of the news.
Hello and welcome to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. My name is Christian Falvey. Many thanks for tuning in. Today, the Czech Foreign Ministry is working to free three of its citizens who are being tried in Zambia on suspicion of espionage. After that, we'll talk with the Meteorological Institute about the cloud of smog that won't let up. And later on in Czech history, we look at the life of Prokop Drtina, a key pro-democracy politician from the days of the communist coup. I hope you'll be staying with us today for all that and more here on Radio Prague. the fate of three Czech nationals who are awaiting trial in Zambia on suspicion of spying remains highly uncertain. The three face 25 years in prison for having taken photographs of an old plane displayed outside a military base in Lusaka. The Czech Foreign Affairs Ministry has tried in vain to intervene on their behalf and is now sending a special envoy to the country to present the case in person. Daniela Lazarova has the story.
Jan Zofal, Jiří Cetl and Michal Weber visited Zambia as tourists while on a business trip to South Africa in mid-October. Their decision to take holiday snapshots of an old Czechoslovak aircraft displayed outside a military base in Lusaka had far-reaching consequences. They were arrested by local police and had their passports, cameras and a downloaded Google map confiscated as part of evidence that they were collecting information about the military facility in question. The Zambian Secret Service accused them of being spies on the grounds of a number of photographs and the simple fact that the barracks in the photographs in question were featured on the Google map. The three men, aged between 35 and 45, spent a week in custody before being released, pending their court appearance. The local authorities are still holding the passports and they have to check in regularly at a local police station ahead of their trial. If convicted of the charges against them, the three could spend 25 years in prison. Repeated efforts by the Czech Foreign Ministry to intervene on their behalf have proved unsuccessful, and after failing to establish contact for close to a month, the ministry has decided to send a special envoy to the country to negotiate the matter. Since the Czech Republic only has a consul in Lusaka, the Czech ambassador in Zimbabwe, Luděk Zahradníček, is now involved in the case. I called him earlier today to find out what circumstances the three men are now in and what their prospects are.
They are lodged in an unfinished house of a brother of our honorary consul, which is not a big luxury, but they made some improvement there so that they have running water, electricity, and all the basics which normal people need. They can, in fact, move around the city and perhaps go for shopping, have a dinner in a restaurant, and so on. So their living conditions at present are not that bad as they were when they were intercepted in police cells in the beginning of the affair. They spent 7 days in police cells, which were really very shabby and unhygienic.
But their prospects are extremely bleak. I understand they face 25 years in prison if convicted. What are the chances of intervening on their behalf? What is being done for them?
Well, I have been several times in Lusaka. I tried to get through to the Ministry of Foreign Affairs because me, as a diplomat, I have to always go through the Ministry of Foreign Affairs from the diplomatic protocol. But unfortunately, up to now, to no avail. Also, our minister, Honorable Schwarzenberg, tried to get through for a telephonic call to his counterpart in Zambia, Mr. Kambuli, and also, for some reasons, it didn't happen. But we are now trying to use all the channels which we have. I think now, my minister tries to involve a special envoy, which would come next week to the capital of Zambia, Lusaka. And, of course, we have also a very good lawyer. But the problem of this case is that there are secret services of Zambian Army and Air Force which are involved, which probably, according to my knowledge, exist. That the court takes place. There is, in fact, no evidence against them in that respect that they would make espionage.
On the grounds of similar cases in the past, what are their prospects?
It's very hard to tell. You know, it is in the hands of the director of public prosecution, who, in fact, seen all the evidence that has been put together, can drop the case before it comes to the courts. But it seems that he also is afraid of secret services and So there is quite a probability that the case would reach the court, which will not be very early. It seems that the High Court of Zambia is overcrowded with cases, so it may easily happen that the case could be treated in the court only in January next year.
That was the Czech ambassador to Zimbabwe, Luděk Zahradníček, talking to Daniela Lazarová. This is Radio Prague. It's the worst case of smog in recent memory. From east to west, the Czech Republic has been under a cloud for the last several days, as up to four times the permissible limit of pollution is being registered in various parts of the country. Children and the elderly have been advised to stay indoors, and factories have been forced to restrict their production. The city of Plzeň has even experienced the rare phenomenon of industrial snow. I spoke with Josef Kedler of the Czech Hydrometeorological Institute, who told me, first of all, where the problems were worst at the moment.
To the worst places the Ostrava region belongs. This is the industrial region on northeastern part of the Czech Republic. The other part is northwest Bohemia, region Ústí nad Labem, and the capital of Prague. And to the worst places also the city Brno belong.
And how does this situation rank among other smog situations historically in terms of the duration and the range of the smog?
Yes, a little bit uncommon is that the situation occurred during November, because usually November belongs to well-ventilated months, I can say. And the thing is that this situation is lasting so long. Usually situations have duration about one week or so.
And today there are protests against drivers. To what extent do people actually contribute to this situation on their own by driving when it's not necessary?
Oh, the drivers were asked to limit their journeys, but I am worrying that they didn't respond to it, and they use their cars as usually in other days.
But are the cars really a major factor in prolonging the smog situation, or is it primarily other forms of pollution?
In Prague, the cars and city transport is the main source of air pollution. In other regions, also domestic heatings and industrial sources contribute.
We've read that the elderly and children should limit their time outside as much as possible, but what kind of danger does the smog actually pose to those groups of people?
The danger is especially for sensitive groups of people, as you said, for elderly people, for small children, and also for persons with obstructive diseases, asthma or bronchitis.
And lastly, how do you see the forecast for the next week?
The forecast is very bad, because our colleagues from the forecasting department predict that this situation will last minimally to the end of this week.
Dr. Josef Keder of the Czech Hydrometeorological Institute there on the continuing smog problem in the country's major cities. If you're just tuning in, then thank you for joining us. You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Christian Falvey. The 1948 communist takeover of Czechoslovakia remains a trauma for many Czechs today. Could the country's fall under Soviet domination have been prevented? Why did Czechoslovak politicians of the era so severely underestimate the threat of communism? These are some of the issues discussed in a new biography of the politician Prokop Drtina, one of the key figures of the brief period between the end of the war and the start of the communist regime. In this edition of Czech History, Jan Richter speaks to Ondřej Koutek, the author of Prokop Drtina, The Fate of a Czechoslovak Democrat.
The signature tune of the BBC's wartime Czechoslovak broadcast, which was a voice of freedom for many people in their Nazi-occupied country. One of the most popular commentators who appeared on the airwaves was Prokop Drtina, under the pseudonym of Pavel Svatý, or Paul Saint. Here is rare footage of Prokop Drtina addressing Czechs and Slovaks back home sometime in 1941.
Rovněž četné návštěvy, jež doktor Beneš jako hlava státu učinil německým městům a krajům, jsou ještě v dobré paměti. A tvrdí-li nacistická propaganda, když zavírá a vykrádá české...
After the Czechoslovak government in exile returned from London in 1945, Prokop Drtina went on to become a key member of the country's pro-democracy forces, aligned with the communists in a fragile coalition that ultimately ended in the communist coup of February 1948, followed by 40 years of totalitarianism. Prokop Drtina attempted suicide and eventually spent 12 years in communist jails. Historian Ondřej Koutek is the author of Prokop Drtina's first ever biography. He explains what made him study the life and work of the popular politician.
In Czechoslovak history, which is very short, only 80 years, there is not so many people, so many politicians, so many personalities who would be such important in the development, in political development of the Czechoslovak state, and who would be so interesting from their personal aspect, from the personal perspective, because he is not an ordinary politician as we know them today. It was a person who was really devoted to the Czechoslovak state and to the idea of Czechoslovak state.
Prokop Drtina was a leading member of the National Socialist Party, a significant group that shaped pre-war Czechoslovakia's political scene and had close ties to the country's second president, Edvard Beneš. Ever since the atrocities committed by German National Socialists or Nazis during the war, the name of the movement has very sinister connotations. The Czech and the German National Socialist movements had similar roots and shared an accent on nationalism, but the Czech movement was naturally very different from the Nazi Party, Ondřej Koutek explains.
They were devoted to Czechoslovakism. They believed that Czech and Slovaks are only one nation, and it was very important for the Czechoslovak state in that period, because Czechs were only, let's say, 8 million, Slovaks only 3 million, and then there were German minority, Hungarian minority, Polish minority, Ukrainians, Jews, and the others. So it was very difficult to manage this state because of such a huge number of national minorities. Maybe this is the reason why this nationalism was so important.
By the outbreak of the Second World War, Prokop Drtina, a native of Prague, was a close collaborator of President Edvard Beneš and a friend of his. Mr. Kotek says this was indeed a rare occurrence.
Prokop Drtina became his personal secretary, and this was really important moment because it was the start of a really interesting relationship between Prokop Drtina and Edvard Beneš, because President Beneš had not enough personal friends or real colleagues. He was always, let's say, a teacher for everyone who stood beside, because he wanted to say his, he wanted to teach everyone who came to him, and it's not very popular for other people. So I think Prokop Drtina was one of very few people who can be described as a Beneš's colleague or, let's say, friends, but not a typical friend in a regular way.
On his way from a presidential aide to one of the most significant members of the Czechoslovak post-war government, Prokop Drtina spent most of the wartime years in London, where he continued to work as Beneš's close collaborator. This had a crucial significance for his post-war political career.
This was also a very important moment because he joined Beneš in London exile, and he became his political aide in London, and then he started his career as a BBC speaker. He was very famous in Czech territory, in the protectorate, as a speaker. He had his own secret name, Pavel Svatý, which was originally used because of his family in the country, not to endanger them. But then it was well known that Pavel Svatý is Prokop Drtina.
Prokop Drtina's regular commentaries broadcast by the BBC to the occupied territory became very popular back home. Drtina, in fact, escaped to London after living in the protectorate for a year, and his experiences struck the right chord with his listeners.
For 1 year, he lived in the protectorate, so he knew what the people in the protectorate, what their life was. He was able to feel what they feel. This is, I think, the main reason. He knew very much about culture, about our history. He admired Czech music, and all these aspects were used in his speeches. It was really the thing which Czech people in the protectorate wanted to hear.
While in London, President Beneš and the Czechoslovak government in exile made some crucial decisions that affected the future of the country for decades, and are in fact felt even now. One of them was the decision to expel Czechoslovakia's German-speaking minority in retaliation for them having embraced Nazism. Ondřej Koutek says that for the most part, Drtina shared the views of President Beneš.
I think in this period he had very similar opinions as President Beneš. There wasn't a really big difference between them. I think there was one controversy, but not in relation with the question of Soviet influence.
Mm.
This question was Czech and Slovak relationship.
Mm.
Prokop Drtina went in 1944 to Slovakia. He was there during the Slovak national uprising, and he saw on his own eyes what was happening. Slovakia was in this time really independent, and Slovaks want to be Slovaks, not Czechoslovaks. They wanted to be Slovaks in Czechoslovakia, but not as Czechoslovaks.
Another issue had to do with the country's future relations to the Soviet Union. Some historians argue that the 1943 agreement between Czechoslovakia and the Soviet Union paved the way for the communist domination.
He believed that Soviet influence will be only temporary, and this is what he thought also about the influence of Communist Party. He believed that this is only a revolutionary period after the war, which will be only temporary, and after the end of this temporary period, normal life of democratic Czechoslovakia will return. But it was not only his fear, but also this was really something what was wrong from the perspective of all non-communist politicians. Mm. All these people thought that they can manage it, that it will be possible to win the elections, and that the Communist Party will be small party which will not be dangerous for Czechoslovak democracy.
Some politicians, particularly those affiliated with non-socialist parties, realized the danger the Soviet Union and its fifth column within Czechoslovakia, the Communist Party, presented for the future of their country. Prokop Drtina had been to Moscow on several occasions and had first-hand experience with the Soviet regime. But Ondřej Koutek says that Drtina, just like President Beneš himself, was too naive when dealing with the Soviet dictator.
He was there in 1944, then in 1945, and for the last time he was there in 1947, when he was a member of a Czechoslovak delegation which came to Stalin to hear that we shouldn't join Marshall Plan. So he was there, and I think he saw the situation in Soviet Union in a right perspective, but he didn't assess rightly Stalin.
Drtina, along with his colleagues, was apparently deeply impressed by the dictator, even though Stalin's opposition to Czechoslovakia's joining the US Marshall Plan was a clear signal that the country's independence was at risk.
He was very surprised by Stalin. Stalin was very amusing. He was very friendly to Czech politicians, and he was able to charm who wanted to charm and who wanted to get to his side.
After the exile government left London and returned to Prague, characteristically via Moscow, Prokop Drtina became the justice minister and oversaw the trials with Nazis and Nazi collaborators. He was ultimately responsible for many judicial errors and even judicial murders, but he was still criticized by left-wing extremists for being too soft. This was an argument the communists used very skillfully to their advantage. Along with other non-communist politicians, Prokop Drtina made the mistake of not recognizing a real threat, preparing for the previous war, as the saying goes.
They believe that the real enemy is Germany, still Germany, not the Soviet Union, but Germany. It was a very serious mistake of this political wing, and I think that communists were very handsome in using this argument.
With a clear mission and backing by the Soviet Union, the communists worked little by little to dismantle democracy in Czechoslovakia that had already been mutilated by the expulsions of Sudeten Germans and the limitations imposed on its political life.
I think communists were very good in getting power, not in administrating it after that, but they were able to get the power very efficiently. And I think that Prokop Drtina and his political collaborators underestimated them. Very, very, very underestimated them. And Prokop Drtina and his political collaborators were responsible for that end of pre-communist period, because they helped communists to win their coup d'etat.
During the coup in February 1948, Prokop Drtina was high on the communist hit list. He made preparations for exiting the country, like many of his colleagues and friends, but his plans failed, and Prokop Drtina saw only one way out. 3 days after the new communist-controlled government took office, Drtina jumped out of the window of his Prague villa in an attempt to kill himself.
He wanted to demonstrate that he can't live in this new period of Czechoslovakia. He thought that he can say to the people of Czechoslovakia by his death that something is wrong. But also he wanted to commit suicide because he feared because communist secret police had a supervision on him, and he thought that he could be arrested, and he thought that this death could be a solution for him.
Drtina was taken to hospital and later to jail. He was sentenced to 25 years and spent 12 of them in prison. After his release in 1960, Drtina wrote his extensive memoirs, and 3 years before his death in 1980, he supported the Human Rights Manifesto Charter 77.
That was Jan Richter with that edition of Czech History, wrapping up Radio Prague's English program for today. Don't forget that this program and every other is available at our internet address, radio.cz. If you have any questions or comments, we are always glad to hear them. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz, on Facebook or Twitter under Radio Prague, or of course by post to Vinohradská 12, 12099 Prague. From me, Christian Falvey, thanks for listening.